All righty, everyone. Welcome to the Home Service Pro Podcast. Today we have with us Andrew Hutchinson. He is with Upgrade Foundation. They are based out of California. Andrew is working remotely today, which is awesome. So, Andrew, welcome to the show.
Hi, Daniel. Hi, guys. Hi, everyone.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being on with us, Andrew. So, Andrew, just tell us, give us a breakdown. Tell us a little bit about what your company, how long have you guys been around, and what do you guys do?
Yeah, so the Upgrade Foundation, the tagline is basically blue-collar philanthropy, founded in November of 2020. The idea, the concept is basically for trade job advocacy, right up our alley here for the home service clientele, essentially to get people off the street interested in trade jobs and kind of like a Skills USA mission for postgraduate folks, young adults. There really is no age cutoff, but that's our mission and that's what we're focused on.
Okay, awesome. So how are people finding you? Like, how are people guys getting a hold of you? And then what do you do with them once they're like should we call them, are they client? Would you call them?
Service professionals, right?
Yeah.
The goal is basically to take someone who's interested in learning about the trades, but really doesn't know much about the education part of things and getting them involved. To answer your question more directly, we started in San Diego. In fact, a good friend of mine founded his own contracting company for demolition services. And Upgrade was initially an idea that we had for donations of furniture and other donatable goods that we could take after cleanups and cleanouts, the kind of work that we were doing down in San Diego that, there's an abundance of stuff in Southern California. And as an extension of that, it was kind of like, well, if we did have a nonprofit that we could use as a tax instrument to give back to folks who used our services, what would we do with that nonprofit? And that's where the blue collar philanthropy idea came from. And it was really to connect individuals interested in learning more about the trades and putting them to work and forming a pipeline that would give them kind of an avenue for success in their own lives. So it's a broad idea. It's really But most people find us through our work as contractors and then get connected to the service once we establish what we're up to.
Sure. So what are you guys finding with, are you working with a lot of like younger people as people are like coming out of high school and they're saying, hey, I don't, maybe a 4-year degree isn't for me. I want to go into the trades. What do those conversations look like?
Yeah, it's a funny circumstance because in a roundabout way, a lot of the service industries get populated either through trade colleges. A few really established folks have their own kind of networks within communities. Sometimes it's just a family organization and you're recruiting from within because you've got a nephew or a son or son-in-law or something like that that you're hiring from. But what we found was really effective was that when we were hiring for the contracting services, we really just needed laborers. We needed bodies, guys that were interested and girls too, that wanted to learn more about the trades. And so Upgrade became kind of an education foundation that was basically a recruitment tool for the contracting side, which meant that, not only are we going to teach you about what we do as a demolition contractor, but we'll actually go above and beyond and teach you about other trades that you might be interested in if you're coming off the street and you've got a love for this. We had built relationships with a lot of the community colleges around us. In Southern California, there are trade schools and, of course, really powerful union entities that work for the trades in general, contractors, construction, and so forth. But Upgrade's kind of unique because we're taking talent that didn't necessarily decide that they wanted to go into those routes directly and have just kind of been loafing around, for lack of a better word, and wanted to get involved. And so we see that as an opportunity for training and education more than it is to kind of cherry pick folks who have always been interested in the trades and really want to make that a passionate kind of investment for themselves. It's more folks who are like, well, I'll try it out and see how it goes. And we kind of take it from there.
Sure. So, so you're helping people find, kind of get their toes dipped in the water, essentially.
Right. Exactly. And from the get-go is really about understanding if there was a marketplace for this beyond what we were doing, because for our purposes, it's highly likely. And in fact, in our experience, most of the time, people coming off the street really aren't ready to go to work right away without a little bit of help. A little bit of training, a little bit of, going through the nuances of how operations happen. We really emphasize safety as well. And in some cases, the right fit for us isn't necessarily someone coming in talking about Upgrade. It could be the right fit for someone else, though. And so one of the first things that we did just in the organizational phase of planning was to reach out to a lot of the networked companies that we understood from other trade companies locally, and find out if there was a need for individuals coming off the street. Did they have a recruitment avenue for themselves? Are they interested in partnering with us? Because the idea of Upgrade as a nonprofit 501c3 is a lot larger in scope than what you could do just as a local contractor or small business. And so we've steadily been establishing those connections. I won't say that it's been gangbusters, because of course it is hard to recruit folks and get the right kind of people through the door. Especially folks who want to stay committed to something, it can be really a challenge to find the right fit. So we're more interested and invested in quality over quantity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Are you having businesses, are businesses reaching out to you saying, hey, we're looking for qualified people, what do you got going? Is it, and are you having people coming from both sides of that spectrum?
In some cases, yes. I mean, that's how the initial conversation started. Mm-hmm. And so my background before actually starting Upgrade, getting invested in home service companies, came through a contractor in Marin County who did home residential electrical services. They now do electrical and plumbing. But it was through that job that I got, after a stint as a teacher, by the way, for mm-hmm. quite a number of years, that introduced me to the NextStar Network. And NextStar is kind of this national and actually international network of different trade entities who collaborate on a specific form of training to do home service calls, very much like what you'd find from a high level white glove home service contractor, mm-hmm. Someone who's going to come and repair your AC, your plumbing, home electrical issue, installing a Tesla charger or something like that. Mm-hmm. And have a specific education method. A lot of it has to do with what, you know, profitable businesses are interested in these days. A lot of DISC profiling and, you mm-hmm. know, script learning and that type of thing. But it really introduced me to the scope of what home service industries are striving to be now, which is a lot different than how it used to be, which is your local plumber might show up and you might know him by first name mm-hmm. and what their practices are, but you don't quite know exactly the scope or scale of their education or, you know, the bandwidth that they're able to do in terms of larger jobs and that type of thing. Mm-hmm. And so we approached it kind of as mentors, for lack of a better word, and, you know, connecting with other companies, it was really this idea that if we're getting the right individuals involved, what's that going to look like for the future of their company? I mean, getting the right person in front of them if they're not the right fit for us. So making sure we're doing our due diligence.
Yeah. I agree with you 100%. I think there's a huge challenge that home service professionals, home service owners, business owners are dealing with, of the complexity that has now come with the expectations in the home service industry. You know, you're supposed to be going from, hey, you know, like you said, like, I know this guy, you know, you referred to him and I got his business card or whatever, or, you know, you happen to be, you know, AAA plumbing. And so you were the first one in the phone book and people found you. And now there's so many things that you're supposed to be great at. Like, you're supposed to be active on social media. You're supposed to somehow be networking with all these people. You're supposed to be, you know, having all these great systems and processes in your company, which, like, seems like they always break down, you know. And like, it's not even about being a great plumber or a great electrician anymore. You know, like, some, now you're supposed to, you have to be like this great business owner. And it's like, well, I was just good at plumbing. I just wanted to run my own plumbing company. And now you don't even have the opportunity to do that anymore. So yeah, that's really interesting that you guys are helping people, you know, fill the void on some of these things that are, it's definitely challenging.
Well, that specific overlap that you mentioned is so important to us. And it's one of those things that in this day and age, being connected online the way that we are, social media, of course, mm-hmm. all the different avenues that people find information or find references, it's mind-boggling. As an example, so my wife out here in the Midwest, she really relies on Facebook groups and local mm-hmm. village and town, you know, bulletin boards, for lack of a better yep. word, or mom groups, if you mm-hmm. will. And the same kind of marketing approach that we might take in San Diego, completely different, right? It's a city mm-hmm. of 3 million people that spread out over 3 hours of driving. Right. If you've ever been out to San Diego, it's gorgeous, but of course everyone's all over the place. Mm-hmm. The same kind of township bulletin board method of reaching out to local families, totally different. You know, next mm-hmm. door doesn't work the same way that it works out in Chicago, right? So mm-hmm. to get the kind of professionals that we need and get in front of people is the biggest challenge that we face. Because, like I said, you might find someone off the street who has a passion for it. They're just not the right fit for what we're up to. They might not be even a great candidate for another company, but they still want to get involved and be a part of it. It's like, great, what are we going to do with that person or with that information? How can we lead them to success? How can we stay successful? It's such a balancing act. But we really feel like educating most folks on what the service industries really are is the first step of really improving that methodology, right? Which is to say, the average John Doe going through the phone book, finding the AAA service, giving them a call, they just have a problem, right? If we're reaching out to a home service company like ours or like yours, it's typically on their worst day of the week. And of course, your first task is not to be a professional that can fix their plumbing issue. It's to be a compassionate, you know, listener, a friendly face to make sure that their problems are handled. And if their basement's flooded, you know, that's a really bad way to start your Monday.
Yeah, right.
So it's really tough to have someone who walks through the door and says, you know, I'm not great at your typical academic track. I'm not great at learning through textbooks or through seminars. I just want to get my hands dirty. I want to get involved. I want to help people. And then it's like, great, stop right there. Let's learn about some sales practices. Let's learn about some marketing practices. Have you ever talked to someone in the street about trying to sell them a product or trying to upsell them a product, right? And of course, the mission that we have is not so much to sell people on services. It's really the idea, the fundamental thought that you're going to encounter things that you won't understand on the first glance. And that person's going to be really, you know, in a tough situation financially or so forth. How are we going to help them get better and fix the issues that they have, especially if you're going, you know, to diagnose something on a larger level, a house level or building level, that could theoretically be much more expensive and time consuming than you really think. Because I mean, that's the brunt of the home service trade level industries. That's so different from other business tracks or other company tracks, right?
Right. So are you, like, when you're equipping these people to, you know, learn all these things, are you putting them through courses? Are you doing these sit down meetings? Like, as a mentorship?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we're kind of small, but fundamentally speaking, we've got a nice intangible base for ourselves. We've got a great concept, a great mission, and we've got great facilities. Our current space right now is just outside of San Diego, about 20 minutes from downtown, and it's essentially a yard, a classroom, and an office space. The classroom space is great for things like presentations and projecting some coursework, and the yard space is great for folks to get their hands dirty and really put into practice things like how to use power tools for the first time. We do a little bit of tack welding instructions. We got some contacts that come in and do some hands-on volunteer work for us. And then, you know, going through kind of the practical salesmanship, kind of in-person script work and that type of work to get people comfortable talking about different service options, how to diagnose things on a kind of a general level. But taking the responsibility for ourselves to say, you know, what's the kind of track that someone coming through the door really wants for themselves, and really trying to maximize their strengths.
Yeah, for sure. Is this something that you guys plan on expanding to, like, other areas in the country? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what's fascinating for us is that the moment we decided to really go with this and start, you know, we founded the nonprofit, everything became above board and became real. We discovered there's a lot of kind of a patchwork of different nonprofits in the trade space that are advocating for a kind of a similar approach that we are. And we discovered, of course, in the pathway of creating Upgrade, that a lot of the apprenticeships and unionships that exist for the different aspects of trade work really advocate for education and safety training already. And so there's kind of like this idea that folks who are really interested in this and going into trade schools right out of high school or what have you, they're getting great training already if they get connected to the right employer. But there's a lot of nonprofits out there that are just kind of like us, introducing folks to that level of understanding of things. And so our goal, nationally speaking, is to say, yes, we'd love to have Upgrade in San Diego, Atlanta, New York, Boston, anywhere that we can get our hands in. But there are other nonprofits already doing work out in those spaces too, which is great. A few come to mind. Explore the Trades is another good one. Helmets to Hard Hats, the Building Talent Foundation. There's a whole bunch. I mean, even Skills USA is really expanding their curriculum for high school students and middle school students and on down. And so there's a great kind of education advocacy behind the scenes that's really trying to move more young people into the trade jobs because there is such a need. So we would love to be kind of the uniting banner of sorts to get everyone involved and invested in this. But it's kind of a challenge because already there's some really great, powerful individuals that are doing these things in pockets of the U.S. And then we don't want to step on any toes either. It's kind of like, you know, support the movement in general and find out, you know, where the right fit is for these folks.
Yeah, right. So explain the, I know you guys are a nonprofit, which is great, but even nonprofits need to run off of, you know, you need money. How does that work? Are you guys getting donations? Are you granted, you know, is it government funded? What does that look like?
Yes. So that's the $1 million question. And that's no lie either. I mean, pun intended there. We would love to have a $1 million check from wherever it comes from.
Yeah.
we were founded on the backs of friends and family. And so in a backwards way, some of these other nonprofits are founded through organizations or trade groups of, you know, home builders and that type of thing. We didn't have the industry connections before we decided to make Upgrade. So we relied on friends and family at first. But now that we're invested in the space, and it's been about 3 to 4 years, we have great connections with places like Harbor Freight and Lowe's and Home Depot, who have their own nonprofit foundation work that they do to give out grants and that type of thing. And it's just been kind of a struggle to build momentum because we are small and we started locally and we started without the backing of some sort of industry titan. You know, the Mike Rowe Works Foundation, the same guy that does the Dirty Jobs TV show. He had a lot of political ties and media ties in his market space before he decided to do the foundation work. And a lot of his donations come from big players in those places. And so it's like, we're not trying to take away any donations, like I said, from other avenues that's supporting the trades, but we do want to carve out a space for ourselves. And so a lot of local work in San Diego, kind of to keep money coming through the door has been our mission. And San Diego did San Diego Gives, which is a wonderful program. It's like bi-yearly, where all the nonprofits in San Diego get together. They do a big radio push and media push to get people to support all the nonprofits in San Diego in general and specific ones that really are attractive to certain folks. And we've basically tried to get it as involved as we possibly can, right? Talk to other for-profit businesses, Chamber of Commerce, that type of thing. And it's been kind of a steady process. You make connections. Someone refers their nephew to you and you get someone through the door, and it's just as organic as you might expect a small business to operate.
Sure. Huh. That's really interesting. I honestly have never, I've never heard of an organization doing what you guys are doing. So that's very interesting, and kudos to you guys. What are some of the, like, what are some of the struggles that you guys are going through? Is there a way that listeners can help you guys?
Yeah, well, the challenge is, of course, just get involved, right? If you find that someone in your circle of friends or family is interested in pursuing a trade career, you know, lead them to organizations like ours, contact us, you know, the nonprofit folks, like I said, there's a few in the different pockets of the U.S. Getting them to connect with people who already have connections is really the first step, right? If your son or daughter or friend is not necessarily committed to a trade school, because it's such a commitment to sit down and say, you know, find the right fit for me, have the money set aside, maybe get a scholarship or two, decide if this is for me or not. You know, like you said, dip your toes in the water at first, find out what the process is like, what was it going to take, you know, have those initial conversations. And it can be really kind of an important and vital step to not push a trade level career on someone before they're absolutely ready to say, like, hey, that sounds like it would be, you know, a fit for me. Because in addition to just, you know, being a plumber under someone's sink every day, you have the administrative responsibilities behind the scenes. You've got the marketing responsibilities. You've got folks who might be great at building websites or, you know, doing the estimations before the actual team comes in to do the heavy lifting. And so identifying the different roles that are necessary to keep kind of the infrastructure side going is also important. And just because someone walks in and has never held a hammer before doesn't mean that they can't make a great contribution some other way. That's my son there. So he's also interested.
We've got a co-star on the show today. So 5-month-old. Yeah, that's perfect. So Andrew, what do you, like, when you guys are, you know, planning out for the future, like, what are some things you're hoping to accomplish?
Well, one of the big pushes that we made initially that we want to continue making are connections with municipalities. Most metropolitan communities have really great infrastructure already in place. And these are the jobs where the trades are really lacking the most because it's mostly career individuals getting involved in their municipal electrical or sanitation role. And these are the folks that are really aging out. Give me just a second here.
Sure.
But in the municipality structure, what we're finding is that folks who work on the energy grid, folks who are doing kind of the larger scale infrastructure work behind the scenes, patching the roads, directing traffic to your next community landfill, processing waste, doing all the things that are necessary, kind of the real dirty jobs behind the scenes. These are the jobs that are really having trouble trying to fill their roles responsibly because most business or even trade school routes are directing folks to work for private enterprises or private contractor firms or private businesses that specialize in that. And so everyone's trying to get a little bit of a piece of the pie. But what we're discovering is that the municipalities are in desperate need because populations are still growing among all sorts of different metro areas, not essentially in California. But certainly in places like Texas, Florida, and the Midwest. And so, we're finding that a lot of these cities are desperate for younger individuals, technology-minded individuals, problem solvers. And it's not even just the businesses that are hungry for good people. So it's kind of tough. Most college or trade school tracks don't have an end result that leads directly to a municipality. And so we're finding that these communities are desperate because it's a team effort, and it's not necessarily a sales-driven effort. It's one of those cases where the city needs something done. And so they're willing to pay top dollar. And it's kind of like you don't have to even knock on a door to get something done. You can just kind of go to work and have problems to solve every day.
Right. What's your take, Andrew, on, I've heard a lot of people just being concerned about the factual, demographics of the amount of people leaving, retiring, maybe it's the baby boomers, whatever, the amount of people that maybe they, like you described earlier, like the guy who you can call because your neighbors used them, these guys in their late 50s, 60s that are leaving the blue collar industries, the home service industries, and not being replaced, like their book of business is just disappearing. Are you as concerned, and because you're kind of on the other end of this, like, are you as concerned about that? Are you seeing the same thing, that like, do you think homeowners should be concerned? Because like, in my, I don't want to ruin it for you, but what I think is going to happen, I think just the cost of having a service done at your home, or like you're talking with the cities and things like that, it's just going to go up because there's fewer people to have it done. What's your take?
What we've discovered, and this is where the education side and the data side really comes into play, because we were very cautious about just leaping in headfirst into the space. What you hear a lot in kind of the mainstream media from different sources is that there's a massive exodus, a massive vacancy that's going to arrive with a lot of retirees that have done trades most of their life and are no longer capable of doing it anymore, right? And so that's been the general sense for the last, I would say, 20 to 30 years. Since maybe the mid-90s of this group of kind of lost souls, if you will, who would love to get involved into the trades, but have yet to really replace the aging out folks, and that type of thing. What we discovered in the pursuit of addressing that specifically was to learn that it's different in different places. In the Midwest and on the East Coast, there is a mass exodus of kind of lifers, if you will, of folks who've done jobs most of their careers that are leaving. But it's not the case in the Deep South and the Southwest. And it's a totally different demographic. And so a lot of younger folks who have, as an example, gone through even the prison system or the military, they're graduating, if you will, out of those circumstances. And a lot of that population in particular is pursuing trade jobs in the South and the Southwest. San Diego's got a great military population. And that's one prime example. A lot of folks are going to work in LA and San Diego and in that space. And of course, outside of Atlanta and in Florida and Texas and those places. And there isn't so much of a boomer exodus out of that region in the US. Whereas in places like Chicago and Minneapolis and Indianapolis and all these different places in the Midwest, it's like, yes, they're desperate for younger people because it seems like the old generation, if you will, they're just getting older and they're having trouble trying to adapt to the new technologies. Those jobs are really in demand. And so our approach then, of course, is to say, great, what can we do with that information? Should we place an emphasis on training younger folks right out of high school or right out of college, and try to put them to work in those places where they're most needed, in Chicago and Boston and those types of metropolities? Or is it really a question of just, you know, educating as much as we can and saying, you know, where's the right fit for this person in particular, and doing it step by step? And so far it's been step by step. If we get big enough that the population demands it, then of course we'll kind of pivot and say, let's focus on regions where we really know we can make the most effect there. So it's really fascinating. Even to touch on that too, it's like the places where we're seeing the biggest exodus is where education is lacking the most. It's like even in Chicago, a lot of folks who know about trade jobs know it through their family or their neighbor and that type of deal. And the trade schools, of course, have students and have connections, but there's not as much of a demand that would fill the, or not much of a supply that would fill the demand needed in those roles. So it's been really fascinating that it's not just some sort of like universal opportunity for everyone.
Yeah, for sure. Well, that's really, really interesting. That's a interesting take on the way that it's impacting the different areas of the US. I never would have thought of that. So yeah, appreciate you sharing that with us, Andrew. Is there anything else you want to cover today? How can people help you out today? I mean, obviously check out your website. Is there social media that we should be following you on? How can we support you?
Yeah. So the Upgrade Foundation right now is basically in San Diego, but we've got a great website, upgradefoundation.org. If any of your listeners or anyone who comes across the podcast wants to get involved and has a family or friend member that is interested in learning more about the trades, but might not be local to the Midwest or to San Diego, and just is learning about what avenues exist and where jobs might place them and what their best talents might be used for, all of those opportunities exist in real time. So as we try and build our mission and try and get more folks through the doors locally to us, there is a greater conversation to be had in all different corners of the U.S. for all sorts of different trade level jobs and home service jobs. The challenge is, you know, I think a lot of the folks in the profession that we talk to the most have these questions about where do I best place my energy for the most success in my small business, right? Because I talk to a lot of home service industry pros in all sorts of different trades. And it almost seems like the same conversation comes up from those who are already in the mix, so to speak. And that is to say, I run a small business, I'm already a contractor, I'm looking for the best opportunities for my family. And the unfortunate answer that we've discovered in the past 3 years is that there is no blanket success program. Not even Upgrade can hand you a manual and say, master this, master the social media, master the lead generation, master the soft skill script learning so that you're in front of a new customer and just nailing your service options. It really has to be on a case-by-case basis. But what we've learned is that more and more people are becoming exposed to how really good home service level quality work is obtained, and the standard is rising everywhere for really well-trained, well-adapted folks like yourself, like us out there who are passionate about this and really want to make a difference. And so, you know, my general consensus is yes, get involved in something like an Upgrade Foundation that might be local to you. Think about the consequences of pursuing this kind of work. Where is it going to lead you? How are you going to make a life out of this? But if you're already a home service pro and you want to get better at your craft, you know, really understand that you can do no wrong no matter where you turn your attention. If you become great at your marketing, some of the best networking and marketing that we've come across as contractors ourselves are former pros who are now focused entirely on that aspect of things. Or if you want to get great at fixing whatever it is that you're trying to learn more about, then invest more in the literacy and the skills building that could potentially incorporate more technology or sustainable materials or whatever the case is, so that you know, you come prepared to answer the questions that most homeowners have these days, which is not only the right price, but trying to get the best service in the best time frame with the best kind of material and environmental impact and all those things.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely becoming challenging. And yeah, as houses are becoming more complex and all that stuff, and people just don't know what they don't know about their houses nowadays. So yeah.
Right.
Finding
but
a trust.
Approaching it, yeah, approaching it with patience, that's the key. Mm-hmm. And understanding that all of us are in some sense of the word, really, you know, shouldering the burden, right? This idea mm-hmm. that some of the days that you have to go to work are really hard days. Mm-hmm. There's a struggle involved. I mean, in no corner of the U.S. is anyone thriving and saying, you know, the trades are easy to do. This is mm-hmm. something everyone should do. It's one of those cases that once you understand that it's a really nuanced, really heavily kind of stigmatized industry that requires a lot of hard work, a lot of expertise, like I said, a lot of shouldering that burden. Once you get past that, wherever you focus your energy on a daily basis, there are no wasted days. Mm-hmm. And if you're learning, if you're encountering issues on the job, if you're really trying to make ends meet with the cost involved and the sunken cost fallacy of giving a customer a price and understanding that it's going to be more later, you know, we're all in it in the same sense, going the same direction, paddling upstream, if you will. And there is nothing wrong with that process. It in a sense is the most noble process that you can undertake. And mm-hmm. so, words of encouragement from nonprofits and contractors like us down in Southern California. No one has it figured out yet. And mm-hmm. so, you know, podcasts like this one, it's great to get the word out and say, you know what, you know, we're really striving hard. We're all taking on more than we can handle at once, but we're going to figure it out. It's going to take some time. It's a decades long process, not a days long process.
Yeah, right. For sure. Awesome. Well, that's Andrew with upgradefoundation.org. Andrew, thank you very much for coming on the Home Service Pro podcast today and just sharing a little bit about your story. And thank you for bringing on your guest star as well. He's been a very well-behaved five-month-old. So thank you very much, Andrew, and we'll see you next time.
My pleasure, Daniel. Thank you so much for having me.